call the September 5th Common Council meeting order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Is excused.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here.
We have a quorum. This evening, we do have a Boy Scout in attendance. Joshua Rich, would you come forward and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Joshua. Actually, Joshua, I'm going to open a citizens' comment period, but before I do that, I want to remind everybody we do have a crowd tonight. A lot of you have been here before, 3 minutes-ish. One round through and hold it to a minimum. So, Mr. Rich.
Hi, my name is Asher Rich. I'm from 3270 East Carrollton Drive. So today I am...
Mark, not on. Not recording.
Today I am representing my grandmother. So good evening. Once again, my name is Asher Rich, and I'm asking you, Mayor Olson, and the Franklin Common Council to consider a proposal that acknowledges safety and accommodation for the elderly and those individuals with physical limitations. I'll refer to my proposal as Helen's Wish. My grandmother, Helen Krasnovich, had hoped to join me at this meeting last month, but took ill and passed away on August 23rd at 99 years young. As a brief background, my grandmother lived in Franklin at 3031 West Forest Hill Ave since November 1950. It could vary, have been one of your longest-term Franklin citizens. There is also a chance that she may have lived longer in this community than any of us here have been alive. My grandmother was a very frequent visitor in our home and would never have problems getting into our house. But as the years went on and her physical abilities became more challenging, she finally made a comment last Christmas as she entered our home. She stopped on the top step, as some may refer to as a street in our attached garage. I only wish with all the laws, building codes, and ordinances they have in our state and community, there is not one that can make it so much safer for the individuals like me to enter or leave the home. I don't like going out now as much to visit others at their house because I dread the thought of using my walker, trying to maintain my balance, open the person's door, and then try to get up that last step without falling. It's not easy for me, and it's probably also struggle for many others. After she said this, I understood her concern and asked my father to assist me in doing some research and talking to contractors, engineers, and medical equipment suppliers. We discovered there is no building codes requirements in ADA, or also known as the American Disability Act for residential homes. We learned that some of the newer homes being built have the same elevation where the home and garage floor is the same, so no step is required. However, there are also many homes being built today with attached garages that still require one or two steps to enter the home. Please see the home currently being built in your community of the picture where the elevation of the home and garage is different and will give you a better understanding of my late grandmother's concern and difficulty in entering her home with a walker. I researched online and visited medical supply stores to see what type of equipment they offer to help people with walking issues and ask for dimensions of the equipment they typically offer or sell for such assistance. Please understand this concern does not only apply to seniors, but others who may have temporary physical challenges and need walkers, crutches, or other equipment. As my grandmother told me, if you don't think this is a challenge, then try it sometime. Clutch onto your walker, lift your legs, and then try opening the door. I'm not a gymnast, but this routine may qualify. I'm simply asking today for your guidance and support. If you feel this issue is valid, please join me in finding a way to share this with others who are building new homes. We're adding an attached garage. Hopefully one day individuals like my grandmother or others physically challenged will no longer have to deal with such concerns and feel safe and welcome when visiting someone's house. It is my feeling that as an elected officials and members of this community and as a Boy Scout, we have a common mission to pledge and serve the needs of our community whenever the opportunity lies.
I see this first step of your listening and considering my proposal of Helen's Wish. It's a wonderful opportunity to do just that. I appreciate your time today in allowing me to share this concern and look forward to your time. Thank you.
Joshua, a couple of things. First of all, thank you so much for taking care of your grandmother. It's a wonderful thing, and you ought to be commended. You and I know your parents are really pleased about that. You have a marvelous thought here to take up your grandmother's challenge. As you know, most of us are, well, all of us, are really concerned about making Franklin a more accessible community. And we're happy to help do that. I think Alderman Wilhelm might be willing to help you, along with me and any other alderman, to work with the state to have a building code changed, because this is a state issue. So between us, we'll get together and we'll help you move this forward.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you for doing this. Alderman Wilhelm.
I just want to thank you for bringing this forward. I just thought about this the other day. I was helping a friend who had knee surgery, and every place we went, he had to step up, and it was really a challenge. But one of the organizations I thought about would be Independence First. They do a lot of assisting with elderly and handicapped individuals, disabled. So maybe you could reach out to that as a first step on your end and get back with us on what they might be able to. Maybe they've tried it in the past and they've run into something, but at least we can do some information gathering on it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joshua.
Your Honor, if I could add one thing. I'm a member of the Commission on Aging for Milwaukee County, so that's definitely something that...
So it's your job.
Well, so we can get behind this, I would imagine, as well. So when I have my next meeting, which will be September 29th, I'll bring this up. I'll bring what you brought here, and I'll get it to all the commissioners.
Maybe he can attend the meeting.
Yeah, maybe we could attend the meeting. Would you like to attend the meeting?
Sure.
All right. We'll have to get you out of school, though. It's 9 a.m., you know, so... I think that'd be okay, right? All right, so I'll send you an email. I can send it to the Our Family 85. Is that where that's the best? Okay, I'll get you that. Thank you.
Thank you. In this case, Supervisor.
Two hands.
Anyone else wishing to speak on any matter? 3 minutes, Tony.
I wrote a five-page letter.
How are you?
I haven't been so active in years, but I didn't do many years on finance. That was probably the first one, the proposition for impact fees. I changed the roof on City Hall to our benefit. I changed the sewer project in my neighborhood to save hundreds of thousands of dollars. But I'm here today on a thing going on in my neighborhood, this planning. So I'm going to try to condense this. Many relevant facts were brought up at the Planning Commission. Barbara, a friend of mine, wrote you a letter. I know another guy wrote you a letter. I'm going to try to keep it simple so that other people don't necessarily need to speak. At the first meeting, we left here feeling like second-class citizens because everything we said was just instantly dismissed. Many issues were brought up. It was advised to Mr. Crispella that he contact some of us to work out these issues. Of course, he did not reach out to anybody. At the second meeting, he came in, did not change a thing, did not come up with new plans, new ideas. When questioned a little, he said, well, the city's going to give me a variance. The city's going to do this for me. I'm trying to figure out how you make the law on cul-de-sacs and then don't enforce it because this guy wants to build. A couple facts you need to know. He may be a local resident part-time. Totally irrelevant. He may have done 30 subdivisions. Totally irrelevant. I hope some of you have taken the time to drive through our neighborhood. He lobbied with all these fancy numbers. Bottom line, some of our lots are only 150 feet wide, but they're also 1 to 3 acres. So he can squeeze all them into this new project. God bless him. I did sewer and water for many years. I'm presently a carpenter. I build homes. So it's not like I'm against development. I'm against this development because of the way he's approaching it and what he wants to do. Realize that if you change the zoning, there is no looking back. city planner was like a yes man at these planning commission meetings. Let me tell you what. Once you change the zoning, he walks in the door and says, well, I don't think this is economically viable anymore. I need to add 8 more units. You don't have a choice in the matter. City planner doesn't have a choice in the matter. He has to approve it. Do not goof around with our zoning. There's a reason all of us live on large lots. That's why it was zoned for this development. You can tell me about what happened on the other side of Country Dale, and you can tell me about what happened up the block. Totally irrelevant. This is our neighborhood. Half of us didn't know about this meeting until 3 days before. All of us showed up. There's a reason for that. We all believe in keeping our neighborhood. In 35 years, you don't see for sale signs on our block. If you do, it's because somebody got sick, somebody died, or they had a job transfer. People don't sell in our neighborhood. Everybody moved out here to live on big lots, and that's what we want. It is economically viable. My buddy, who I worked with for many years, one of the major estimators for one of the major sewer and water companies, he told me this is doable. It's doable on today's zoning. There are other alternatives. I choose not to tell this guy how to do his job. It was said to me, he's trying to make a living. God bless him. If 30 subdivisions didn't make him enough money, God bless him. He could take a little less per unit. He could charge a little more per unit. As far as the tax base goes, unless things have changed, when I was on finance, the average house did not pay enough taxes to justify its cost. That's why we developed the industrial park when we did. So the tax base issue is not relevant. The school's funding, are you going to tell me the difference between 20 homes and 25 homes is really going to change it? We need development in Franklin. But the way to get it is to get sewer and water in the areas that don't have it. This little 18-acre plot is not going to get us rich with the state of Wisconsin. We live in a unique area. Those of you who've seen it know what I'm talking about. We have large lots. That's why we move here. This is what we want. This is how it was zoned. This is how it was intended to be. I'm not going to get personal. I just found it very abrasive, I guess that's a word, that this guy would come back a second time with no new plan and pretty much told us it was a done deal. I'm trying to figure out how this works. When I was on finance committee, I was approached by both sides about line items, but I always made up my own mind of whether it was good for the city or not. If it was logical, I voted for it. If it wasn't logical, I didn't vote for it. I'm asking you to do the same thing. Some of you probably live in subdivisions. Some of you probably love it. God bless you. We don't. We don't want it. Leave our neighborhood the way it was designed. Let the guy go forward with a project that fits our neighborhood. It'll be no problem. I hope to build a couple of the houses for the guy. But it doesn't need them extra homes. The traffic study? Nonsense. Some guy in Madison says, oh yeah, we can have 19,000 cars a day, whatever that number is. Really? We're going to have another road 150 feet from a terrifically busy intersection. It was said to me something about, well, all schools have this problem with traffic. Okay, so let's just make it worse. I mean, where's the logic in that? I know there's probably been some lobbying behind the scenes, and I hope you guys took a neutral stance and appreciate what we want in our neighborhood. Not what you want in your neighborhood. What you do in your neighborhood is up to you. I've done this before. I've went out of my way and printed up flyers. Me and my daughter went 1 year, passed them out to help another alderman get elected because I believed in him. I believed him to be an honest man. I had no problem financing him and taking him many hours to pass out flyers in his district.
Hey, Tony.
All I'm asking for you is to give us a fair shot and honor our wishes. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Name and address. Tony, we need your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Anthony Raymond. I live at 12343 McShane Road, Franklin. Thank you.
By the way, that wasn't 3 minutes. That was Tony Raymond's version of 3 minutes.
My name's James Hansen, 7638 South North Cape. I can't speak too well. I just came from the dentist, and I had a strong prep that I got excited about.
You sound good.
Okay. Anyway, as I had said at a previous meeting, I don't see why somebody can't be a prophet with R2 zoning in that area. That is a lowland, it's a wetland, it's the bottom of the hill there, and there's plenty of water running down that way. If we get that two-packed in there, there's going to be some flooding problems. And retention ponds, are they going to do the job, or are they going to be mosquito holes? Consideration, I think somebody can make money putting 12 homes in there, 14 homes. Keep it R2. It's not asking too much. That's my comment. Oh, yes, I am an engineer. I have 2 degrees. I've been on many, many military contracts and involved in negotiation for these things. And the proposal, I think, was a little bit nebulous, and it should have been updated, but there's not been much done with it. So what are you going to say?
I say thank you for your comment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Anyway, we don't need to clap, do we?
All right. Yeah.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Don't be bashful.
Hello.
Name and address, please, for the record.
Patricia Tim, I'm at 7605 South North Cape. But I have 2 small children, and as Tony brought up, with the traffic, I'd be concerned with the kids, and the school is right there, and the safety of the children. So I just wanted to address that or bring that up.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Suzanne Mayer, 9733 West Ryan Road. I have a couple of issues. I ran into some people at the St. Martin's Fair this weekend, and as a former alderman of the district, they wanted to let me in on some of the stuff that's going on. So this weekend, I looked at the information from the Common Council pack, and I just have a couple of things that jumped out at me. Some of the stuff I'm sure have been addressed. I could not listen to the audio of the Plan Commission for August 17th. It was not up on the website yet. July 20th had some of the audio up, but led me to think that there was still more information and that audio was not current. So I didn't get to hear anything about the discussions with the Plan Commission and what questions they were trying to get answered for themselves. I guess I do have questions regarding the cul-de-sac one. Like Tony said, I don't know Tony, but why do we have that ordinance if it's just going to be blown out every time? There also seems to be a little bit of a discrepancy with the acreage that they're talking about, which makes me think the base site area could be incorrect. It's just something that should be discussed and made sure that everything is correct. The natural resource information is 10 years old. DNR says that is supposed to be only 5 years old at the max. And that information also said that there are no wetlands on the site. It is a farm field. It has drain tiles all over the place. I'm assuming that is why Vincent Trier, I believe is what his name is, he has a letter in the packet why his yard is flooding every year, because the water from this farm, 18 acres, is going onto this property, and I'm assuming other people's properties also. So those are just a couple of issues from the thing, but what I really do want to address is the actual ordinance that is in the packet, and I'm really hoping that somebody else saw this, but if not, I have to point
some stuff out because I don't think that it's right how the ordinance is written up. I was there for 3 years, and one of the first things I learned is that you have to read the packet. It says here, whereas a public hearing was held before the City of Franklin Plan Commission on the 20th day of July 2017, upon the aforesaid petition and the Plan Commission, thereafter having determined that the proposed rezoning would promote the health, safety, and welfare of the city and having recommended approval thereof to the Common Council. I don't think that that happened. I think that that is a complete lie. And that's in the packet that says that it was postponed on July 20th and that on August 17th, the voice vote was 2 ayes and 2 noes and the motion failed. It also says that the Common Council, having considered the petition, which is all of these people complaining about it, and having concurred with the recommendation of the Plan Commission. I don't know what you're concurring with. So the ordinance needs to be revised if you are going to vote on this. I don't know how you change the ordinance without looking questionable. Those are my issues. It would be best, I think, to just put a motion to deny on this. I'm assuming that the alderman of my district is not going to vote for this, but I would prefer a motion to deny it straight up. Thank you.
Mr. City Attorney, the former alderman raised some, I'll say, issues.
With regard to pro forma drafts of ordinances and resolutions in the Common Council packet, it starts out as a draft from day one from staff, and the standard pro forma is that there are whereas clauses that state the sequence of the process and that it has been approved, because ultimately if it is adopted, if it hasn't been approved in some way, shape, or form by the Common Council, then there is no ordinance or resolution. The alternative would be to spend more staff time putting in brackets the Common Council concurred with the Plan Commission, bracket. The Common Council disagreed with the Plan Commission, bracket. The Common Council resulted in a tie vote with regard to the Plan Commission recommendation. And then after spending the time of putting in the alternatives, then after council action on it, instead of potentially simply having the document executed by the required officers under state law, there'd be all deletions involved, et cetera, et cetera. Starts out in the legal services department, and then it goes to staff in the Department of City Development following Plan Commission for delivery to the council. Obviously, if it were adopted by the Common Council, at a minimum, it would be subject to technical corrections, including each and every one of the whereas provisions or the like that are inaccurate, which has always been the practice in the City of Franklin.
Anyone else wishing to speak? Mr. Lewandowski.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. This thing on it doesn't. I just want to ask the question about number 9, whereby we are authorizing $20,000 for engineering help. I can't quite understand why we need that. We've got a staff downstairs that should be handling all this. I've noted that sometimes when I come here for the meal program, I never find Glenn Moore's car around. He doesn't seem to be hanging around lately too much, so I don't know if he's got other jobs or what he's doing, but we sure can't spend $20,000 more. We hire some people to do the job. That's what they're getting paid for, and we shouldn't have to go for other people to solve the problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak? Please come forward, give us your name and address.
Michael Behrens, 12326 West McShane Road. I was wondering, the gravel road that currently runs between my property and that cornfield, what's going to become of that? I use it, like if I go down to Romy's, I'll walk through the back and through the cornfield, or through that gravel road, except it's getting really overgrown, especially ever since they put that pile on the end of it, so it doesn't get cleared out at all. But what happens to that? Is there still going to be an easement for those of us that live along McShane on that side to be able to use that gravel road?
I'm not familiar with that, but if it's on private property, whatever happens to it depends on...
Isn't it an easement road?
I don't believe there's any easements on that property. No.
Because there is a gravel road. That's where they used to go into Lake Ripley.
You know what? We got to stop this conversation because if you've been using it, you've been trespassing.
It's there.
Well, I'm asking.
It's not the city.
What we're talking about is a rezoning, not what's going to happen to this road. And
okay.
You know, feel free to meet with Joel after.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyone else? Ms. Watson.
Watson, 7901 West Imperial Drive. Thank you for the opportunity to stand before you tonight. Again, my name is Nicole, and I'm here representing Creative Homes as an officer of the company, as the developer of the project on North Cape Road, but also as a city resident for many, many years. I'm here tonight to simply highlight the importance that this project brings to our community as an entire community. As you all know, there's been some concerns from neighboring property owners regarding this rezoning request, so much that a petition was started. Ironically, the person who started the petition lives in an R3 zoning, which is exactly what we are trying to propose here tonight. In our 30 years of developing in Franklin, we've prided ourselves in always being able to work with city officials, neighboring property owners, where we've got the job done, and it's been a win-win scenario for everybody. We've diligently listened to comments from the neighbors, as well as cooperated and worked with and in conjunction with city officials beyond what we feel is necessary for a rezoning request. I just want to recap very quickly the commonly expressed concerns of the project. The number one concern that was expressed was traffic, which I think we negated with the traffic flow study that was conducted. Another item was water runoff and possible flooding, which we just need to remember that the City of Franklin and DNR places very strict guidelines on making sure that these are met. And there was discussion around lot sizes being a quarter acre, which the plat shows that that's not accurate. We're proposing lots that are approximately half acres, which from my recollection is the largest that has been developed in the City of Franklin for quite some time. I know that a commissioner also had some questions and concerns around a couple other items, soil condition, water, location of a road to the south. Our engineer did a great job in trying to address these items and reassured them that all of these are addressed with finality during the final plat stage, which is the appropriate time that these items would be addressed. So as a board and as elected officials, I feel that it is really now the time to place strong consideration on the benefits that this project brings to our entire community. $11 to $14 million tax base. We've got growth in numbers in schools, which is going to increase growth school funding. We're proposing to extend the water main from North Cape and Double O at no expense to the city, nor the residents in the area. We've got a quality home development we're proposing, which increases values to our community, not to mention that our city is in desperate need of development, which has been communicated by staff, city officials. We've talked to professionals in the industry, along with other people throughout our community. So I just respectfully stand up here and ask you If you are not in favor of this project, are we really willing to walk away from all these benefits that the city stands to gain from this? And if we're not, are we really in a position as a city to turn down a project of this magnitude? Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Okay. Seeing no one else, I will close the citizens' comment period, and we'll move on to item B2, mayoral announcements. League of Municipalities, I attended a conference a week or so ago of city chief executives, and a lot of conversations about various topics, including sports complexes. The Rock was a topic of conversation. Anecdotally, while we discussed some other ones throughout the state, we talked about the financial state of Wisconsin cities and towns. We had a little complaining session about the state legislature. The topic was, is the erosion of local control a national trend? The answer to that one was yes.
Especially in this state.
We also talked about surveying municipal residents about service enhancements to the protective services. City of South Milwaukee is going to a referendum to fund their paramedic services.
Watch that one.
Us large communities got together and complained about Milwaukee. Even folks from outstate complained about Milwaukee. There was a breakfast on women's executive leadership. There's a group that the women who are in government, present company, should consider joining, and I'll get you the information. It's free.